So there's another illustration of how leaders amongst us have been raised up and then have the opportunity to pour into other lives. Pastor Kathy actually has been involved in Blizzard and organizing, raising up next generation leaders for 10 years now. And she's seen, it probably touches her heart more than any other to see a video like that, because she sees so many who she's had the opportunity to pour into over the years have their place in leading other lives. And one of the things we want to celebrate this morning, of course, and what we want to say to you, Uxbridge Baptist family, is how grateful we are for the way each one has their place in pouring into the next generation. It's because lives are lived faithful to Jesus Christ out in the open for others to see that the reality of it, the power of it, is seen by the next generation. And despite all of the things that might be said in the secular media and all of the things that might be said in the education curriculum and other sorts of things, influences that come in, it's the power of a Christian life lived by a respected person close to home that means so much to an individual, that calls them into the fullness of faith. There's very few things as powerful as that in a person's life. I'd like us to just take a couple more minutes to look at a passage of Scripture that illustrates just this very thing as an encouragement to us to carry on doing the good work of pouring in with all of our heart into those that are following. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1? Want to read a few verses for you there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Family is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to have people who are close to us, who love us, and who we love. And it's in those close connections that we often find we can be at our best and at our worst. And it's the power and strength of the living God that enables us to live that out in a beautiful way. I want to read to you these words from Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll just use a few verses here. But it speaks about an intimate relationship between Paul, the mentor, father in the faith, and Timothy, the son, who's being encouraged and growing in the things of the Lord and being launched into his ministry with the encouragement of Paul. Let me begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, listen to this, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is one of those letters in the New Testament that is really, it has an intimate character to it, because it's the letter of a spiritual father to a spiritual son, that he would be encouraged. Most scholars actually understand this to have been written late in Paul's life, some understanding a certain portion of Timothy expressing Paul's sense of his impending execution, that soon Paul's life will be over, and we do believe that Paul was martyred for the faith. It's very interesting, given that sentiment, that Paul is first to giving expression to the promise of life in Christ. In light of his anticipation of his own death, he opens the letter with this confidence: there's promise of life in Christ Jesus. That speaks about the faithfulness of Paul and the power of the gospel, even in dark moments, even in those moments where he's coming to the end of this earthly expression of his life. So what I want you to do is just picture with me for a moment Timothy reading this letter privately as it has come from the Apostle Paul, and the incredible emotion that this must raise in Timothy's heart, that this one who has loved him and nurtured him and whom he loves greatly has written this to him. We can only imagine the feelings Timothy must have had when he read this, and then when he read it again after Paul's death, Paul nurturing him. Look at verse 3. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Paul is referring to the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. There's spiritual heritage. He speaks about Lois and Eunice and how they had poured into each successive generation, and that too had its benefit in Timothy's life. And we can add to this list so many others who have faithfully prayed for, lived for the development of faith in the lives of those who follow. And many of us here have such sweet, fond memories of those who have loved us in Jesus' name and have poured into us. Whatever the statistics may be these days, they are concerning to us. It seems that all too often now, many children from Christian families are turning away from their faith. We're the beneficiaries of so much help for parents and all kinds of books on the shelves, all kinds of sources for us to get help, but it seems like we're not doing as well as we need to in passing on our Christian values and faith to our children. And that's not to make anyone feel guilty, but it's to observe the importance of what it is to live a life that is Christ-like and to live with the passions of Christ. Thank you, Joe. Good breakfast, by the way, Joe. That was... It's so incredibly important for us to recognize the trust that God has given us in the next generation. Usually when someone takes a moment to give an account of their life, the first place that they think of to somehow speak about what their life has become is those who have been the major influencers in their life, often family, those who prayed, those who've cared, those who have lived truly. Timothy's own spiritual maturity comes from this same kind of heritage. I just want to point out to you quickly a few things that are really pillars that speak about how Timothy has become one of maturity. Firstly, his family heritage. You see it there in his own mother and grandmother. Actually, Paul himself points to his own forefathers, and Paul recognizes his heritage in the faith, and then he speaks to Timothy's heritage. It's right to recognize how powerful family is. Timothy had a godly home. Actually, we're told by Luke in the Gospel, or in the Book of Acts, Timothy's mother's marriage was a mixed marriage. His father was Greek and his mother was Jewish. And it seems as though Timothy's father was an unbeliever as a Greek, and his mother Eunice was a believing Jewess who became a Christian. And before her Timothy's grandmother, Lois, who had evidently been converted. We actually think that perhaps all three of them were converted by Paul as he was preaching the gospel in Lystra. Even before their conversion to Christ, however, these godly women instructed Timothy in the Old Testament truths, the truths of that were anticipating the coming of the Messiah. He comes from a family that honors the Lord, and that produces in a heart, with God's blessing, a like honoring of the Lord. Today, anyone who has been born and bred in a Christian home, that's something to be celebrated. And the influence of those godly influences means so much to us. So there's his heritage, his family heritage. But notice also this, his spiritual friendships. After our parents and those in our family, it's our friends who influence us the most. And especially if they are also in some sense teachers or mentors who help us to understand and grow in biblical truth. And Timothy had an outstanding teacher friend in the Apostle Paul. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. He led him to Christ, but he didn't stop with that. He continued to unfold the riches of God's grace for Timothy and continued to nurture Timothy along. And so we see Timothy growing. That kind of Christian friendship, the companionship, we see right here evidence that Paul continues to nurture Timothy because he's writing a letter to him and encouraging him even as Timothy is struggling. Through letters, through prayers, through communications, it's all expressed, and this has a powerful effect in molding a heart to follow Jesus Christ. I just have to say, what a tremendous blessing it is for me as I look back on my life and I think about those influences in my life, each unique to the person that was there. None of them did everything that I needed to have done in my life, but each one of them contributed in a unique way to make me who I am today. And I'm so grateful for those godly influences, those mentors. And then notice this, Paul turns to speak about Timothy's special gift. Not only has his family made a deposit into his life, and not only has Paul, as a wonderful teacher, a friend, poured into Timothy's life, but God has done something. And as we're thinking about nurturing the next generation, we need to remember that God is active in this work. God's doing something in a life. And so Paul says to Timothy, don't forget about the gift that was given to you. I think the best understanding of this and the laying on of hands that went on is kind of a commissioning into ministry. Whatever the particulars of Timothy's ministry was, it was confirmed by the laying on of hands and prayer, often as we would ordain someone into ministry. And so Timothy has a particular gift and a particular calling, and Paul again is encouraging him, God has given you this. God has put this in your life. Don't you dare allow that to fall by the wayside or somehow to be left undeveloped. God has given it to you. God desires for you to do something. And when God gives you a gift, there is something that you have that no one else has, no one else can do. You have a place. And so there is this call. Not only from the direction of parents and the direction of friends and teachers, but from God himself, what God has done. I want to say that for each one of us, and in particular for young people, our children, that God has designs for you, that God is pouring into you, and he's using all of those others around you, but God has a place for you in his service. And he's eager for you to step up, to rise up, to take the gift that he's given you and see it come to its full expression. This is what Paul challenges Timothy with. Not only that God has given the gift, but now Timothy needs to receive it with courage. His own personal discipline. This is another one of the pillars of his spiritual maturity. That Timothy now takes it as his own. He rises up into it. There comes a time in each believer's life when you have to step out on your own. Wonderful as the spiritual family heritage is, wonderful as those teachers and friends are, as wonderful as God's gift to you is, there has to be the stepping out in the direction of the Spirit and owning it for yourself, rising up into the responsibility of what is yours and taking it to the next generation, kindling it, seeing it fan into flame like a fire. It seems that Paul's exhortation is that Timothy should not just know that he has this gift, but he should continue to fan it into flame, see it come to its full blaze, and in that way, exercising his gift faithfully as the treasures of Jesus Christ are passed on to yet another generation. It's in this beautiful way that one life affirms and blesses the next life. And the rich inheritance of faith is passed on from one generation to the next. Friends, spiritual family, I just want to say thanks again to you for all that you do to pass on these treasures to the next generation, to the next circle just outside the reach. Don't give up. Don't slow down the pace. Let's be diligent about passing it on. You've seen so much evidence this morning. I just think so much credible evidence for what God does amongst us when we take our responsibility deliberately, seriously. It's no wonder to me that Paul, in his latter days, was filled with joy at the thought of Timothy. I think there are many who are seated right here who think about those you've had the privilege of praying for and sharing with and seeing them rise up and grow and see their gifts come to great expression, and it fills you with joy. A joy that is just so unique and so encouraging to you. It's no wonder that Paul felt this. May that same joy characterize our families and our fellowship of faith as we continue to pass on the treasure of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. God make us rich in the inheritance of faith. Would you pray together with me? Father, it is beyond the ability of our words to describe how indebted we are to those who've gone before us. And what a beautiful thing it is that we carry the memory of those precious times and that instruction and that encouragement, sometimes that rebuke and that correction, but always what led us to a greater dependence upon you and a greater expression of your life and power in our own lives. And Lord, we are just so grateful. And that we could have the opportunity to pass on those same gifts to others who are following in our footsteps. Lord, make us faithful. Give strength and power to those who follow. Raise us up. Raise up a generation that fears you, Lord God, and that is strong in the power of your Spirit. Not timid, not wayward, but bold and confident in the things of Jesus Christ. We ask it for the honor of Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.